Hello everyone. This is Rodvik. So welcome to my podcast from the mind of Rodvik. Today we have a guest. I would like to say that he's actually my best friend, and he's someone who I have known for many years, and I consider him as a brother in Christ. And a brief introduction about him. He's a web developer by day and a digital rights activist by night. And he believed that God has called him to basically minister in the area of digital, in the digital world. So what he considers as the dark digital world. So a lot of his work involves doing ministry online. So we are very happy to have Saluchin Ten on our podcast today. So I would just like to start off by welcoming him, and just to give this podcast a start. Welcome, Saluchin. Can you just briefly tell us about yourself, introduce yourself?
Yes, good day, Rick. So yes, what you heard in the intro is actually mostly correct. And yes, I'm basically a web developer by day, and because I saw the need, and rather I saw this, it actually started as a Christian hackathon in the area I'm in, and I just joined it. And from then on, the Holy Spirit actually told me that it's a calling, you know, to do digital evangelism. And from then on, a lot of doors opened, and I didn't know there were so many like-minded people who are actually doing the same thing worldwide, all over the world. And I really thank God for this sort of ministry. There are actually at least three or four movements worldwide that's doing this, but two of them are actually more localized. So one of them is Kingdom Code, which is mostly based in UK, and there's another one which is I can't remember, I think Big Tech or something, which is mostly based in the US. But the others are based mostly international. So that's with them in Digitus. So they are being involved in those ministries. One of them is in Digitus, which is a ministry that is actually the digital evangelism arm of Campus Crusade for Christ, which they now call themselves CRU, C-R-U. So it's just an offshoot of that. And they've been doing a lot of work in the digital space. The Singapore chapter is teaming up with Wesley Digital, so that's a very good thing they're doing as well. And there's also Faith Tech, which is mostly based in Canada and worldwide as well. So they're more on the funding project side. So if you've got like a digital evangelism project, you can also ask them for funding. So these are the things I'm mainly my concern about, to actually make the digital world bright again, because the enemy has really occupied it so much.
Okay, so thanks so much for sharing. Like, I can see that you have a lot of involvement in a lot of digital ministry, and you named a few, like Faith Tech and even Indigitus, is that how you pronounce it?
Indigitus.
Indigitus, okay. So I think that's good. But I feel like for our audience, what would really be beneficial is for them to hear about your walk with the Lord, because when it comes to doing ministry, I think we tend to be too focused on the ministry instead of, like, sometimes we have to spend time with the Lord and to gain things from Him and just rest in Him first before we can actually move on and to do something, right? Because the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be like Martha, but we should be more like Mary. So I just want to know from you, what are some ways that you have taken upon yourself to actually grow in your intimacy with the Lord, like with your walk with Him? Like, maybe you want to share some things about that?
Yes, absolutely. So I came to know the Lord back in 1999 or something at the church camp. And since then, it was a little bit of a slow and steady journey until baptism in 2002, thereabouts. So that's when I got baptized. So even before that, I was like every day I was reading into the horoscope, seeing what's on the next week and all that. But then after I became saved, I realized, no, I didn't need that anymore because I had Jesus in me and the Holy Spirit. So that's a good thing. But as for the walk with God thing, what I would normally prefer to do is to actually get assimilated with a solid group of fellow believers. Believers who can actually build each other up and vice versa. You can build them up and they can build you up. So build each other up. Iron sharpens iron. So that's one aspect. And the other aspect is to try and get involved in some kind of work or ministry, or even a few which are doing work, the work of God based on the work of God, rather than doing good works to get points to go to heaven. So that's what some parts of my walk with God is. And the other part is I thank God for being in a church that regularly sends what they call manna, which is a Bible verse per day to actually meditate upon. And from then on, it can actually expand in the context and do a chapter by chapter study of the Bible, that then chapter by verse and all that. So, and other than that, also involvement with small groups, cell groups, and certain other ministries that are in line with the teaching of God, of the Bible. Personally, always be reading the Word of God. Always be praying every day, every time, every minute, always be in prayer, and always declaring the God in everything that you're doing, everything, every blessing that you come in and you realize that it's a supernatural, you always say all praises to God. So that's how it is.
Okay, so I got a lot from your sharing. So I think you talked about how it's I mean you go to church, it's important to go to church, it's important to surround yourself with believers who can actually be like a sounding board and iron sharpens iron. And then you also talked about praying without ceasing and also reading the Word of God, meditating over it. But I think we do have this some sort of like consensus that churches in general are not really I mean how do I say this? They're not really a safe space for a lot of people to actually join and to actually openly talk about some of the challenges they have, even with challenges in ministry, right? So what do you think as Christians we should do when it comes to attending churches? Like how should we view church going and what should be our attitude towards churches be? Because the reason why I'm asking is this because a lot of Christians they go to church on Sundays religiously. So it's part of their religious activity. So that itself they think is something that will help them with their walk with the Lord, which I clearly don't agree with. I think what's more important is to read the Word of God and to actually pray. So what would you say our attitude should be towards churches? And maybe you want to make some comments about churches here in Kuala Lumpur. What do you think about churches here? Do you think it's a good place for many Christians to go?
Yes, about the churches in KL, in Kuala Lumpur, and churches in general, they are safe spaces provided you fellowship or you start making friends in smaller groups. That's why a church is a massive gathering on the Sabbath or whatever Sabbath day they choose. They call that a celebration. Right, churches call that celebrations, where you come in and celebrate what has been going on in a week. A lot of Christians don't get this, so that's why they have to keep drumming it in, Celebration Sunday. Sometimes the churches even call it Celebration Sunday, so to drum that in. But then throughout the week, that's when the real thing starts. That's when the real rubber meets the road. And I think our attitude should be, churches should be a place of refreshment, where after a week, then you like a bit tired from battle, you know, come in those who are weary and tired, that Bible verse, then I'll give you rest. So it's a place where you come in to rest, recharge, celebrate what has been going on a week, and then the pastor or priest will give you a message to go through the next week, and then you can proceed boldly and all that. Yes, admittedly, some Christians are what they call Sunday Christians, and then throughout the rest of the week, they don't behave like that. So there needs to be some education for those. I've not figured out a way to do that. It is hard. I've spoken to the board of deacons last week in a small group that I met. One of the member of board of deacons, he said, yes, it is a bit hard to reach out to these people, but they are trying. So they're trying various ways and reaching out by small groups, cell groups, and all that. So that's why churches have cell groups. And this is where you go in. You have a smaller group of believers so that you can freely share and really be transparent to everyone without fear or favor. And which is why cell groups usually meet at home or in homes or private spaces so that you can be free to share anything. Because you know, sometimes you can meet in a cafe or somewhere it's too public and it's a bit dangerous to share. So admittedly, yeah. And also sometimes it's a bit sensitive. And the thing about churches in Malaysia is that during the celebration service, it can be a bit too public because there is some danger of what they call special officers coming in to monitor the service. So that's why they're a bit cautious, a little bit. But I feel that churches are becoming a bit more bold now. I can see that happening across the board. So that's actually a good sign. And we should continue to respect that and continue to pray for the church, just in general, and the congregation, that they will come in and treat it as a way to prepare for the next. Also, some of the works that they do, like caring for the sick, caring for the needy, some churches are doing it very well, but they're just not talking about it. They do it quietly, but they do it very effectively. I have seen from my own eyes, relatives who are not doing very well, the church come and visit. And glory be to God, one of them just recently got saved, and I pray that she'll be healed very, very soon. And yeah, that's one of the effective ways that the church can also reach out.
I mean, thanks so much for sharing. I am actually encouraged by your sharing because I personally have not been part of the church ecosystem for many years now. So I have not been gathering with believers, if you want to say that. So I personally don't have a good experience with churches in this city. So I have this view that they are not effective and that they're not actually doing what God has called us to do. And if for me personally, it looks like it's a system where a certain group of people are gathering. And then there are barriers for someone like me to come to the church because I don't fit in the idea of Christian in their mind. So I think this is some of the challenges that I personally want to address and also work on solution. But at the moment, I mean, it's like what you said, we can only resort to prayer. So praying that churches will be more open to all kinds of people who need the help and who needs healing, who needs prayers, not just those who meet a certain standard. So thanks so much for sharing that. There are some churches who are doing good works, and as a result of that, people are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really encouraging to hear. And I definitely agree with you that we should continue praying, and I think that's what we do. As Christians, we pray for God's will to be done, and obviously we have to love his bride, right? So the church is his bride, so there's no negative feelings towards the church. I think church is important, it's important to gather. Of course, I think churches can do better. I think that's where we need to pray and actually pray that Christians will do self-reflection and actually take steps to better themselves. You know, like, churches do need to do better. That's just my opinion. But what do you think about that? Do you think churches need to do better here?
Yes, actually there is always space for improvement for churches locally. And yes, they can always strive to do better. I know of at least one or two churches that are willing to accept people as they are, and then after that be willing to minister to them, follow up with them. But the thing is, to follow up with them actually depends on that personal choice of that person. If the person wants to follow up, then surely there's someone willing to follow up. And I think what is probably lacking is maybe discipleship, because to me I am not sure whether anyone is seriously doing discipleship locally, because it's very private. You actually have to sit through with the person for quite a long time to every aspect of their life. I know the church that I did attend when I was studying overseas in Australia, they had what they call a shepherd and sheep system, where actually it is very, that one is public. Everyone knows who is a shepherd, everyone knows who is a sheep. So in that way, it's actually a discipleship system. But they're taking it way too publicly. So, I think that is a degree of transparency that maybe can be adopted a little bit. So, that's probably what's the most lacking is discipleship, appropriate discipleship, and the willingness to do life together. That's where the issue is probably.
Exactly. So I'm so glad you brought up the willingness to do life together. I think that's what's really missing in a lot of churches and even in cell groups, because I was part of the church and I was part of a lot of cell groups for, I think, for 5 years. And I was part of a lot of Bible study groups as well, you know, fellowships. And I hope I'm quoting the right scripture here. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It really talks about what a church should be like. I just don't think churches in our nation are like those early churches. And I think there's a long way to go. But I'm not sure if things are going to improve, because we are living in the end times. And the Bible is very clear about how love is good. People's love is going to grow cold, right? So, and there will be a lot of people who fall away from the faith. So, in the context of end times, I think since we don't have much time, I just want to like close by asking you, like, since it's in the context of end time, so what is doing ministry in the context of end time for you? Like, for me, I can tell you honestly, I think when I'm doing ministry or when I'm engaging in any form of activities online or offline, my goal is very simple. I just want the individual that I'm engaging with or the audience that I'm trying to cater to, they will come to know the gospel, which is Jesus died on the cross and then he rose from the grave. And I just want people to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one else comes to the Father except through him, according to John chapter 14, 6. So that's my idea of doing ministry. And in this day and age, especially for 2023, right? So for you, what is ministry like in this context, like in the context of end times?
Yeah, in the context of end times, my way of ministry is mostly demonstrating Christ-like behavior in your daily life so that people can observe and see that you're doing things differently. Like, say, for instance, they ask you to do something which is obviously a bribe, and then you just say, no, I don't do it. Or they want to take you drinking or they want to force you to drink. Is say I don't drink. Firmly say, even though it may cost you some marks or points, but there'll be people that will be saying, I see that you don't drink, why is that? And that is an opening for ministry, for sharing and all that. Because people will be curious, you know. I'm just curious, why is it that? Why do you not drink? Why do you not do this? And then that's when you try to converse with them. You open the door to them knowing the Lord and all that, and you start planting seeds that way. So in this way, seeds can be planted and the seeds will germinate, and they will be able to share also once they themselves know the Lord. And that's how I view it as doing ministry in the end time, because it is a bit oppressive. Like, we can't share things openly. It's not as open as, say, other countries. So that's why we have to do it a bit more subtly, like demonstrate our behavior as Jesus would have demonstrated it in that way.
So I think that's a really good way to conclude this conversation today. So we are called to be the salt and light, and people should be able to see the distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian. And I think the real big distinction is that when we engage in good works, it's not because we want to get brownie points with the Lord, and we are not trying to earn our way to heaven, but it's because faith without works is dead, right? According to James, the verses in James. We do know we are saved because we know the way, the truth, and the life. And salvation can only come through one way, which is through the name of Christ, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So that's a really good sharing that you just did about being salt and light, about exercising Christ-like behavior. And I think that's something that we can definitely talk more about maybe in our next episode, because we don't know. Sometimes Christians behave in a non-Christ-like manner, you see, in a public space or in a personal private place. So that's something that is also
Yeah.
something we can definitely talk about in our future episodes, and also it will be interesting because we also wanna, like, I think both of us are very curious about the fruits, right? Like, you will know them by their fruits. So that is really that is a very interesting biblical concept to delve into, because we don't know if somebody is fruitful just by looking at them and the work that they engage in, right? They could come across as very Christ-like because they simply engage in a lot of good works, which probably benefits the marginalized, but behind the scenes, they may be mistreating their family members. I think the example here that I can bring up is something that I've shared with you before. It's Stephen Chowder, the conservative person in the US who's currently being canceled because he mistreated his pregnant wife, you know? So I think that's something that we really need to be careful of. It's not just about being salt and light in public, but also in private, with our family members, with our immediate friends and acquaintances. It's a really a hard matter. And I think when it comes to the heart, only Christ can actually change somebody's heart and change their sinful desires. So, so thanks for talking about how we have to demonstrate Christ-like behavior. So, just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to come on this and to just talk about really important issues that's affecting Christians and especially churches, right? So I think that's something that we can just keep talking about. And I hope we can actually sort out a solution or even work towards a solution to help churches to do better. And I hope our voices will be heard in a public platform, and also that our concerns will be heard, and that these people who are part of the church and the leaders of the churches would actually address these things in a appropriate, practical way, because it does affect life when it does affect the lives of many when churches do not, for example, when they don't do healing and deliverance, you know what I'm saying? Like, so there are lots of people who are left unhelped, and who are left in like a situation where they cannot get help, they cannot get deliverance from evil spirits and from bondages and strongholds. So this is why we need to really keep pressing on the whole effectiveness of local churches. Like, what is the point of going to a local church if it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to sound too transactional, but I think that, yes, you are right, that we should go to church to get refreshed because God's yoke is easy and we want to gain, we also want to like gather with believers, right? But I think people also do go to church because they need help, clearly, you know? So they need to have a conversation with the spiritual leaders, and the spiritual leaders should be able to support the people who come to them in need. And of course, in the context of our where we are, we have to be very mindful because we cannot just share the gospel or share the whole truth with just anybody, because 70% of the members of this nation, they belong to a different religion, and we are actually prohibited from sharing the gospel with them, right? And I'm sure you are aware about a certain pastor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name him, but you are aware of the certain pastor who actually went missing because he, I mean, he's a pastor, so he has a really pastoral heart, right? So he shared the gospel with a group of people who come from that religion, right? And as a result, he has gone missing. So this is where we really need to pray for churches, because I'm glad you think churches are bold, but personally, I would tell you that I don't think churches here are bold. I think they are very lukewarm, and I think they are very scared. So, but that's just my opinion. But of course, we need to pray for churches to actually do the right thing, which is to share the gospel with everybody, and I think everyone deserves to know good. They deserve to hear the gospel, and they deserve to know what Jesus did on the cross for them, because Jesus died on the cross for all of us, not just for a select few of us. Like, you and I are not elect. Like, we are not better just because we believe in Christ. No. We were both sinners who were dead in our sins, right? And we were wretched and we were depraved. And God, by His grace and mercy, showed us a way out. And the way out is Christ, obviously. So, so I think everyone deserves to come to know Christ. And it doesn't really have to be somebody who has a likelihood of becoming Christian, you know? So, like, for example, I would say that I'm the last person who would be a Christian, but I am. So this is where we really need to pray for churches to be more accepting of somebody who comes from a very interesting background like me. And I think there are so much more people like me in the world. I mean, so yeah, so thanks so much for all the insights that you shared, and I'm so glad that we did this. Thank you so much. Do you want to share with the audience, like, how can they get in touch with you or know more about your work and what you do, if they are interested to just follow you?
Yeah, sure. Well, if you want to know more, you can go to my website, which is salocinten.info, salocinten.info, and there you can see some links towards the socials. Basically, I am that mostly all over the socials. I have a GitHub, I have a Twitter account, I have a Facebook page. You just key in that name and it should turn up somewhere. So that's where I can, that's where you can find out more. And also feel free to donate to the course if you want to donate. And that's about it.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing, Salachin. And with that, we are concluding our first episode of From the Mind of Rodvik. Appreciate you coming on.
No worries.